Morning. Calling to order the regular meeting of the Rancho Marietta Community Services District Communication and Technology Committee. It's December 5, 2024, a couple of minutes after 9 a.m. Present on behalf of the district are Director Butler, myself, Director Booth, General Manager Morris, and District Secretary Wilder. Amelia, do you want to share an update on the website and social media with us, please?
I do. The interesting things about the website update this month, I think that the most interesting, of course, we have almost exactly the same number of users, is that instead of having a big spike on a day or two, it's evenly distributed throughout the course of the month, the spikes. We have friends from India, China, Australia, Germany, and the United Kingdom looking at us. Last month, 1,200 views on that just hit the main page. People want to pay their bill, find out how to get a job, and lots of Integrated Water Master Plan, and access your account. So that's nice. That means that folks are using that portal to get on to the bill pay system more, which is the big idea. And my, oh, there were more pages available this month. They've added more into Facebook. So now not only can I see how many people I had, which was 1,224, but I can see their spikes throughout the course of the month. And the most interactions for the month, this is what I thought was particularly interesting, 283 views looking at the picture I put on of next year's recycling calendar and trash pickup calendar.
Okay.
The second most...
More about that later.
The second most was the water, the sandbags being available here at the district, followed by the Thanksgiving notification.
Okay.
So it's kind of nice to have a little bit more information to share this month. And then I'll keep that coming.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Next item is comments from the public. If you wish to speak during comments from the public or would like to comment regarding an item appearing on the meeting agenda, and we only have one more item, please complete a public comment card. In this case, I don't know, Mr. Merchant, did you care to address the committee?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple things.
First off,
I'm not sure where this would go if it didn't come here. I strongly urge you to consider fixing the box at RMA. I know what the push about automated payments and automated billing is, but
consider what, John? I'm sorry.
The box, the CSD deposit box at RMA.
Oh.
The
so
two boxes.
If I may, in the RMA, Linda, you may not be aware, in the RMA parking lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there historically have been two drop-off boxes, right. One for RMA, one for CSD. The CSD box has recently been removed. The explanation was that it was damaged. Mr. Merchant, did you wish to
comment? Yeah. And you know, when you consider the demographic here, you're not going to go all the way with people who want to pay their bill on the internet.
Right.
That box has been there for 40 years, and it has somewhat of a perception to it that you know the RMA box and the CSD box are side by side. We have always cooperated. We have always gone over and got them, and I think we ought to replace the box.
I agree.
And they are all over you on the internet already, all over you.
Oh, well, we can
just
certainly...
another CSD thing, okay? And it's an image problem. The second thing, again, it's here because I don't know where else to go with it yet. I spent a lot of time in retail and a lot of time in marketing, and some of that is about image, and image starts when you go through the front door of a retailer or when you drive up the driveway of CSD, and this place looks like crap. And I apologize for that because I had them put the trees in, and then Henning left, and I left and they never finished. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea was, first of all, we were going to get, at the time, we had cut down tons of trees because of the weather issues that we had had, and Ron had unlimited supplies of wood chips that they were glad to give us. I don't know, you know, we had discussed a plan to rebuild where the sign is down at the bottom and to take one piece of that area and start, you know, maybe a display of indigenous landscaping, mm-hmm, that, you know, people could use as a guideline. And we never did anything. I'm not sure the last time they were out here to look at the trees, you know, I haven't walked, yeah.
An update on the trees. They were put in May of 2022. The Sacramento Tree Foundation agreed to care for the trees for a total of 3 years. They've been back annually, and they came back in October. They take out the dead trees,
right,
and they put fresh trees in.
Okay.
I anticipate that all of the tubes will go away in May of this year. And I said, well, the tubes look awful. He said, no, we leave them in there so that those trees have the chance to get fully established without anybody eating them. So
not the staff,
right? But I mean, we all we're doing now is cutting down the weeds, you know. And I would like to see us attempt. I mean, I guess this would go to improvements if we decided we were going to do it. But I don't know where else to go with it. But I mean, you know, and again, on the internet, it's, you know, oh, CSD Yard of the Month. That's what it says.
Just a question for you, John. Was there ever any landscaping plan put together?
No, we okay, never got that far.
Because I think that's a basic first step.
Yeah,
in
we had
overall evaluation of,
yeah,
how to,
we had
how
that,
to improve
we,
it. And I agree with you; it does,
yeah,
look awful. And I think it's not only the trees, but the uncertainty about that driveway. So I think getting some certainty about whether or not that driveway will ever be an access point for that proposed other development, I think would help to,
yeah,
kind of solidify spending money on that.
I think, yeah, I'd be willing to bet money it won't happen in the next 2 years.
No, here's where
that's probably a good bet.
Yeah, here's where the driveway is officially. On the county website is the JTS traffic analysis for the development. The development includes on the application, which is another issue for the water plan, but on the application is 39 acres of property to be developed with 88 houses and 160 apartments. On that plan,
John, you got your numbers.
In the traffic analysis is the requirement of the developer to develop an intersection for that property. The developer has been here looking for CSD to give them
an easement
because that would make it cheaper for them. And we're going to get pretty much, based on, if you go in there, you can actually look at the plan. We're going to get turn lanes. We're going to get an improvement to the south entrance. So we're going to get what we need. And personally, I would have no interest in doing anything beyond that. It's the developer is going to have to work with Caltrans. It's going to take forever. It always does. And not only do they have to do that intersection, the first priority they have is to do the Stonehouse to Lone Pine connection, where they close out the existing Stonehouse turn lanes because they're unsafe. And until they do that, they can have no use of the third gate that's up at the Stonehouse Park. So all of that is, and if we were to do that, I mean, like Steve just mentioned, we're years down the road. So I would just take it off the table. They haven't been back since they came the first time. Their problem with that 39 acres is it's not in the water plan. And if it's in the county application, it has to be in the water plan. Otherwise, we wind up with another residence project that's 25 years old.
And the nuances that you mentioned, Stonehouse is a county road. And
yes.
So it would require county involvement there. Jackson Highway, I think most people know, it's a state highway,
state highway,
you mentioned. And so it's responsibility of Caltrans. So a lot of stakeholders.
Right.
And a lot of approvals to go through. I would recommend, back to the original issue with regard to the appearance of the front of the of our property here, I would ask that that be placed on the agenda for the next improvements committee meeting. I don't know if that's already on a calendar. There will potentially be some changes to committee assignments tomorrow, and I don't think that we necessarily put the calendaring of those committees into the discussion tomorrow, but I think we can maybe take a look at what we can do in December and then plan
in January, because they already had December improvements.
Okay, that's right. They met yesterday, didn't they?
Yes, sir. Or day before.
I have a few comments.
Yeah.
Please.
First of all, about the trees, I had a question, because when you start to grow a tree and you have one of those tubes on it, and theoretically, it's straight. Most of those tubes out there are leaning in one direction or another, which to me means the trees are growing in. So the next, I would actually maybe give them a call and ask them about that, if you don't mind.
I will.
I know, if you need help with that, I know Kelly pretty well. Kelly runs the conservancy. The guy that does the trees works for Kelly.
So
I can help you there.
So when you say conservancy, you don't mean the Sacramento Tree Foundation?
Yeah.
Yes.
You mean the foundation.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And those trees we got were mitigated trees. We were going to lose those if we didn't use them.
Right.
So that was why we were in a hurry.
So that's one thing that has always been a curiosity to me. Are they growing sideways? You know, it's fine to have the tubes on them, but what good are they doing if the trees are growing sideways? Secondly, I participated in planting of some of those trees. We had a planting day. We invited the community, and about three of us showed up. So, but the Tree Foundation did, you know, a great job. I do believe that we need to assume the responsibility for the rest of it, and I'm not even sure if we want to replant trees, but we should, as a CSD, be looking at how we can make the front of that look more like a forest, which was the original plan. That we have some sort of plan drawn up for that.
Yeah, the unfortunate part of indigenous trees is they grow slow.
Well,
that's why developers don't grow them.
Right, they put in coastal redwoods instead.
Right.
And the second, very bad choice in Rancho Murrieta. The second thing is when I was here when Baker and Williams came and gave us that lovely plan for the 39 acres, and I'm being facetious, but that highway, well, this road, first of all, they have to get an easement from us.
Yeah, to come up.
Yeah,
yes.
They have to get an easement from us, and that's why they were here.
But they don't have to. They can create a front end intersection, okay? And they don't have to come in where they want to come in. It's up to them to develop the property, and nobody is going to force us to give them an easement.
No, I understand that. I just wanted to make that point. And the other point I wanted to make is the reason why they're coming to us, even though there may be other possible ways to get there without using that.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not,
right.
They're really not feasible.
You can go over on the Hutchinson side. There's, I mean, they could legitimately talk to the Hutchinsons and see if they want
right,
they
right.
could make some money.
But we don't have to give them that easement, number one. Number two, from my understanding of what's going on at Caltrans on a regular basis, they are so not interested in doing anything on that road.
No.
We can't even have had a hard time getting them to do anything on the north entrance.
The thing with the intersection at Stonehouse is that we have $475,000 in a bond that was posted when they built the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is the cost of the traffic light, the signal. We can't put the signal at Stonehouse because it goes around a corner and creates a dangerous intersection.
Right.
So what Caltrans says, you have to back up the signal. If we didn't have to do that, the signal would probably already be there.
Mm-hmm. back it up to...
They have to back it up to Lone Pine, which is a plus, because what happens now is that when they're pulling a trailer, they don't want to come out on Lone Pine. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. That's a dangerous turn for them. So they go back around the post office, and they come back out, and they back up the Northgate intersection, mm-hmm. and they all turn out of there. Okay, this would alleviate that. This would drive them off Lone Pine directly out to where they would make a turn on Highway 16. The other part of that, when I was here too the day that Mike Robertson came and made that pitch, and if you remember, it's in the packet somewhere, mm-hmm. but the map that he presented mm-hmm. is the exact map that is in the county application. Right. Okay, so the county, when they come to us and they ask for a water supply assessment, that's going to be in there. And we haven't accounted for those units in the water plan. So mm-hmm. all of that stuff kind of fits together, but it's nothing we can... I mean, I'm not... No way do I want to give an easement.
What? Sorry. No, me either.
So the original premise of this point of discussion is that image is a communication technique, and I see the social media commentary about the appearance of the front of the building, and I agree we should put that on the agenda for improvements and then get something to the board, perhaps to authorize a project moving forward to I hate to use this word, but beautify the front end here. And really the same thing with the Dropbox. Again, I see that social media commentary. I myself went to use that box to drop my bill the other day, a week or so ago, and we had to drive over here. We are probably more inclined to do that than a whole lot of the residents on the north, mm-hmm. especially the long-term individuals who are accustomed to having that box there, relying upon it. And as we've discussed previously in the context of the Finance Committee, there's just a disinclination to go to automated payment among a significant portion of our community. And for a variety of reasons. I think there's a whole variety of reasons. And I was going to raise the issue of the Dropbox as well in the context of some of the communications that I'm seeing socially and the things that I'm hearing. And the it's an easy target for individuals who are already prone to be critical of the CSD. And, you know, it almost reads like, here they go again. And I know that there are many of us, and I think, Mimi, you included, trying to overcome, you know, that legacy, you know, mentality. But little things make a difference. And I also wanted to talk in terms of communication, and it's both internal, external, is the issue with Cal Waste and the waiver to stop the need to separate to put organic waste into a can and be picked up weekly, which we discussed at the last board meeting. It was shared with the public in the pipeline. I thought the pipeline article was pretty informative, and having maybe had the benefit of the discussion here, it was a little clearer in my mind than maybe some of the readers who didn't. But in any event, there have been some individuals who called the district office, and I don't know how many that is. It may only be one resident, but contacted the district office here, was referred to Cal Waste. If you have questions about how to separate your garbage and when it's going to get picked up, Cal Waste. And I think that was an appropriate referral. The problem is the Cal Waste folks hadn't communicated with the folks answering their phones, apparently, to be able to advise our residents, there is a waiver, and, you know, we're working with the district to work out scheduling and all the other nuance, which was reported at the last board meeting. So I had an initial response out to the next door publication. I got a couple of almost snarky comments back. And then after GM Morris and I had confirmed, you know, Callaway says, yeah, we didn't tell our front-end people this was going on. I put something else out to clarify that. But, again, I don't think we failed in any manner in that regard. But my point is it just shows we still have, and probably will for some time, some very sensitive, maybe hypersensitive and hypercritical individuals. And I explained in my post, look, we're trying to tell you as soon as we can what we thought was good news. and we're still getting bashed. The coup de grace was the lady who complained that they just spent almost $1,000 on a composter at the house and now they weren't going to need to use it. And somebody says, keep using it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to put your organics into the trash can. You can still compost if you want. But I think these are little things, and we will be at the December meeting. I'm going to ask to have a number of items placed on our agenda for our December 18 meeting. And one of them is going to be a strategic planning session for the board, kind of a board retreat. We'll probably hold it here, but a board retreat to really sit down and talk about what issues this district faces and to prioritize them and to strategize on how to address a set of goals for our board. And I think these kinds of things need to plug into that discussion. I've been on the board now just shy of 2 years, and we haven't had any of that kind of discussion. You know, we talk about individual issues, but we haven't had a broad-based strategic planning meeting. And
3 years.
Pardon me?
Even anything close to what you would consider, they used to call it goal setting, and it's been at least 3 years.
Okay, so I'm going to recommend for the December meeting, and I know, Director Butler, you've been advocating that for some time.
For 3 years.
with the board, and I think that we can push together.
I've already contacted CSDA for, there's a webinar that I can read, or anybody can read, for how to direct one of those.
Cool.
One of the things I had on my list of things to question, or not question, but to talk about, was we always are in some sort of a, do we have anything to talk about at the communications meeting? And so I'd like to put two things on the agenda permanently for the time being. We will always talk about how we're communicating to the community. And one of the things is the pipeline. The other thing is the web page. We went through a whole process of and I have a draft of the comprehensive communication strategy. And Mimi, you were very instrumental in putting together a whole thing. And then that was the end of it. And so what I'm suggesting is that we always make time for that. And that we need to resurrect it and start looking at it again. And it's easy for us to get lost in all of the other minutiae and not such minutiae, big stuff too.
So one thing is the pipeline, and the other thing is to talk about that strategic communication plan every month.
Well, that pipeline is in the strategic communication plan.
Okay.
So
I think that you're looking for a topic that's like communications with our community.
Yeah.
Just as a line item.
Right. Right.
And that can serve several purposes. It can be just regular ongoing stuff that maybe we develop in our strategic planning session. It could be an ad hoc subject. Something comes up and we need a town hall or we need a specific article or something. Mm-hmm. We should always be talking about how are we front facing for the community, other than just sending out bills and eliminating the Dropbox.
The other part of that is it's my special thing is the pipeline, And I know that we've talked about this before, that there are all different ways to communicate to the community. Some people don't go online, you know, so, and Amelia helped me out, and she got the numbers for how many bills or how many pipelines we're sending out. And so we've got this community covered as far as sending out pipelines. If people aren't getting it, they're just not looking at it, or they're not expecting it, or I'd have to start asking more of my friends. I asked a few who are on auto pay and who said they still aren't getting it, which is, I can't believe that after you gave me the numbers. So we need to figure out, you know, and make sure that people are getting that. And what I'd like to do with the pipeline, as well as the other sections, is take the pipeline apart and kind of revamp it. That has nothing to do with how you've been managing it, because you don't have you have that, and you don't have a lot of direction. So that's the other part of my question is, can we get somebody? Okay, what are we allowed to do? In other words, I think this committee is different than other committees. It's different than finance. It's different than improvements. To me, this should be a working committee, and I don't know as a board member if I'm allowed to work with Amelia on it, or if we can get somebody else to who knows about marketing, who knows about the only thing I know is what I see and what I react to, and bullet points, for God's sakes. No, it's really, it's, I know I've talked about this for how many years have I been here? 6 years. People don't read those big paragraphs. They don't, unless they're really, really into it. They don't read those big paragraphs. We have to communicate things a different way. But I'd like to get somebody who knows marketing, who knows something about this. And I don't know if there's somebody in the community. I'd be willing to take on the task of trying to find somebody, or who will volunteer their time and give us some help and some direction. So there's that. And and then I think that... as far as the other thing that we wanted to maybe put on the committee all the time was what you were talking about, image, how to direct communications to the community, but also to each other. And I'm not sure if I'm on the wrong track or not, but the idea that this is a little bit different, this committee is a little bit different than the other committees, and that I think it involves a different kind of participation.
Well, and I agree with everything you said. I don't know if it's something we can or should put off until our strategic planning committee. I think it definitely should be an item of discussion at that meeting. And I am hopeful that as we seat a new director tomorrow, that some of the philosophy of this board with regard to its relationship and interaction with our community is improved. I am chagrined with comments that I hear that lead me to a belief that we have members of our board that, frankly, Scarlett, don't give a damn. And I just don't think that's appropriate. And I think that there have been some actions that have been taken recently by the board that send an uncomplimentary message to the community. Again, I hear about it in the community on a regular basis. You know, I show up for trivia on Thursday nights, and I have half a dozen people come up and ask me, what's up with this? What's up with that? I get emails. I get phone calls. I'm sure you do as well, Director Butler.
Indeed.
And so I think that that's just an important... And I've been talking about this ever since I joined this board. I think we need to have a really earnest discussion about that with the new complement of the board in our strategy session, and continue to be cognizant of little things like eliminating the Dropbox.
And we had no forewarning or anything of that? Nothing.
I heard it was
hit by a car and damaged, and then water started to get in, and all of the payments got wet. So it was a quick decision to take it away. We can put it back, and we can bring it forward as, you know, a proposal to have you guys authorize the expense. So I have no
quarrel with removing damaged box. Yeah. But I think that Mr. Merchant's point is well taken, mm-hmm. that it's something that, and again, you know, there is already a sense in this community that we've kind of chipped away at things. Security, we've been actually able to kind of restore some of the security reductions in staffing and coverage that we've encountered over the last 2 years. I don't know that the general public is fully aware of that yet. I still try to communicate it, but they sure as heck told us about it when we cut things back. And we're never going to satisfy everybody, and there are going to be some people who are just flat misinformed or not informed when they make their criticisms. Those perhaps are the more challenging individuals to respond to, because they don't want to read what we tell them. They don't want to pay attention.
They don't want to
get involved. But I'll deal with that. You know, whatever that small percentage is, and I suspect that we can provide some initiatives. And I would suggest, I mean, it's not really a communications committee item. We didn't have a finance committee meeting this month, Mimi, but I would ask that between now and the 18th of December, you have staff research what it would cost to replace that drop box and have an action item for us at the board on the 18th.
That's just exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. We need to fix it and fix it now.
Yeah.
And it's very disheartening to hear RMA's perspective on that. It got damaged. Oh, we have to fix it. Oh, you can pay for it. Instead of coming to us and saying we had as far as I know, they didn't come to us. They just told us.
I'm sorry, I have very little knowledge of this issue other than that a car hit it and then it wasn't known or it wasn't repaired and it rained and all of our payments got wet and their checks. And so,
yeah, I, yeah.
You know,
well,
so,
I,
but
I,
I'm just saying, so, wait a and, minute. And so I was, it was suggested to me that we just not replace it because it's an extra staff step to go out there and to pick them up.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And I'm telling you
I know.
And so we can totally evaluate the cost of replacement and put it back. And I don't know, you know, as far as responsibility for that, I have no knowledge of that, but there might even be tape, video.
I don't know either. And I do know, actually, and I don't know if this was an additional damage to the box recently. I know that box has sat a kilter for some period of time. So I think it's been struck.
Yeah, it's a miracle that 36 years ago it wasn't run into.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really probably been struck before. What's interesting to me is that the RMA box is in front of that as I come around the Circle Drive. And the RMA box seems to be unfazed, but our box has been hit once or twice at least in recent times. So, but yeah, let's put this on the agenda for the 18th, please. And again, I think that it's an image issue with our community, but it's also a public service issue. I think that one of the more poignant comments on social media this past week was CSD seems to forget their middle name is services.
I agree.
That hurts. That hurts me when I hear a comment like that. It's snarky. And it's relatively small issue, but cumulatively, and again, I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe not my new four-year tenure. We won't be successful overcoming some of the just hypercritical, you know, approach that some of our folks take. But I think I always believe that we can in fact improve and persuade. folks, and we've seen some turnaround. I mean, there's some individuals, Mimi, in the time you've been here in the public meetings, you can recognize we've had a few folks that were dire critics that have almost come to our support on issues recently. So there's hope.
Go back.
There's hope.
You can please some of the people some of the time, but it's tough to please everybody all the time.
I want to go back to something that I think is really important, and that is the fact that RMA, those people are our community. That's the Homeowners Association for everybody behind the gate. I do not feel like RMA takes us seriously, number one. I don't feel that RMA in this particular situation followed any kind of plan or way of communicating this to us, and it left us in the position of the community saying, "What the hell did you do?" And so, I have a I don't know if you would say no confidence vote, but I find that they run up against us more often than they cooperate. And I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, I think that's another good topic for our strategic planning. I know in our communication plan, you know, we have an item about the communications between the other organizations
right.
in our community. And maybe we make that a primary goal and figure out, have the board figure out a regular way. I don't know if President Mabee is still meeting with members of the board with Scott Adams or with Rod Hart over at RMA on a regular basis, but maybe that's something I know it used to happen. So maybe that's something that we just revisit again. Let's put that on the list of things that we talk about in our strategic planning.
And then a report.
Mimi, I don't know if you have any regular meetings with Rod over at RMA.
We're in regular contact, but yeah, those three entity board, president, and GM meetings kind of dropped off the map because of both my health issues and then also because of the RMCC's lack of a general manager.
Yeah.
And their president is kind of all hands on deck doing everything to just keep the country club going.
Yeah. So, and he's also a non-resident.
That's right. Yeah,
he lives in Folsom. So I think definitely I don't think there's any urgency to deal with it this month.
No.
But
no,
I think if we try to get it, we'll talk, like I said, on the 18th about setting dates for strategic planning session or sessions. Mm-hmm. Maybe it will require
more than one.
And I think we put that, and I would advocate to the board in general that we reinstitute to the extent that we're able to. And if the country club chooses not to participate, then I think we share that with our community. We have some folks that are showing up here critical of us and touting the country club. I think we and there's so much confusion still in this community about the roles of those three entities.
Who
and
does
I think,
what?
And I think, well, I think part of it is that there is such a historical in dovetailing of those three entities, and you know, I almost said I can't even think of the word now, but anyway,
you've
so
got
I think
my
I,
disease.
Pardon me?
You've got my disease.
Yeah, well, I think it's part of aging.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue to have that discussion, I think, in the context of our strategic planning sessions, assuming
that
you know that we get those scheduled at the next meeting. I don't think we should have any trouble getting it scheduled. I think we should be able to get a majority vote in support of that.
I have a comment when you're ready.
Mr. Merchant.
Amelia, do you have any dialogue with Beth Bederis?
I do.
Because one of the things, and you know, I don't believe we should. The neighborhood webpage on Facebook.
Yes, that's right.
What she does as a public service mm-hmm. is to announce, hey, that this meeting is important, or hey, this thing with the garbage, and she was on that.
Yes.
I bet, and you know, this is qualitative, but I bet just as many people learned it from that mm-hmm. as anywhere else, because there's thousands of people on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, thousands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, without getting involved, and I think she would be more than willing if you have this discussion, if you, for example, have a link.
All I have to do is send it to her and ask her to post it,
and she will. A lot of people are going to see that.
Mm-hmm.
That engagement, we had three CSD meetings on the water plan, and I held four private meetings on the water plan, and we were able, in terms of seats over the course of those meetings, we put about 1,200 people in those seats at those meetings.
Okay.
And it is simply a matter of communicating, and the same thing goes, I think, with RMA. I think that that president to president and manager to manager thing that we have, the country club has and hasn't been involved. I did those for years, the 2 years, particularly when I was president. But the RMA is really a key issue on and as it relates to security, as it relates to garbage. One of the concerns will be, for example, with the, you know, there is a segment of the community that was absolutely elated not by putting your chicken bones in the green can, but the fact that the cans were picked up every week, because between October 15th and December 15th, I have two cans all year long. I fill in that 60-day period, and people's gardeners do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I fill those cans every week. Now, if I can't rake my leaves because I have no place to put them, okay, then I got RMA on my back because I got leaves blown all over the street and blown into my neighbor's garage and all kinds of stuff. One of the things that would have come out of that, you know, if I had read it, was, hey, this is a great idea, and I have a composter, so I don't use it for anything else, but is there a way that Cal Waste could figure out between November?
We already have extra green waste pickup October, November, December.
But that's only in plastic bags.
Yeah, you have to put it in plastic bags on your regular green waste.
You know, pickup. And that means when you do it that way, and that's been pretty much eliminated by the fact that we're taking it every week.
Yeah.
That we're talking 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 50-gallon bags to pack those leaves. I mean, you know, there's 100 trees on my block.
One of the things that I saw in the pipeline this past month, November I think it was paper bags. You can get paper bags, heavy-duty paper bags, instead of plastic bags. And maybe there would be some way of, I don't know, encouraging people to tell them where they can find the paper bags. How can they get them? Where can they buy them? And encouraging people to go along that line instead of the plastic bags. We're picking up leaves, and now we're sending them.
No, but and I didn't want to get into a big mechanical thing
about how to
do it. But it is a concern, and it's not a concern for half a dozen people. It's a lot, and you know, if we have the cans anyway, and they've already figured out and they bought the truck to accommodate the extra cans, then is it possible in that season that we do biweekly up until October 15th, and maybe for 6 weeks we do every week on the green can? That would be extremely helpful.
So I would endorse the idea. Again, I'm looking for all these ways to improve our image with the community. And Mimi, I know you and or other staff are involved in discussions with Cal Waste over modifying our agreement since the waiver was received with regard to the organics. If you would include that in your discussions and at least be able to report back, I'm sure you'll be bringing back to the board whatever modifications Cal Waste is willing to make and what the price tag's going to look like. I think, you know, we're hopeful that they won't have to pick up every week in perpetuity. But I like the idea of, I used to live in the city of Sacramento where they had the claw come around every week and pick up all my stuff. Now, 2-3 times a year, I take a pickup load as high as it can go of plastic bags full of leaves out to the refuse center, and I have to dump all of the leaves out of the plastic bags.
There you go.
But, if you would include that, I think that's a good suggestion. Appreciate, Mr. Merchant, you raising that. And again, just we're looking at modifying the contract anyway, hopefully. And if we can look at primary leaf season, which probably is October through December.
Mm-hmm. I have one final point, if you might.
Please.
That I think, and this may be part of a strategic planning session, you have to look at sometime in X period of time between, my guess would be 2 and 4 years, you're going to be asking these people for money. And you're going to be asking them for a lot of money. Okay? If you look at the infrastructure plan and we get to the point where we understand how much we have in reserves and you take Randy's comment to heart that, stuff now costs double what it used to. We just spent $250,000 fixing a leak. Okay? We used to build stuff for $250,000 in this place. So at some point, you're going to be asking them for a bond, or you're going to pray that you're going to get a combination of a bond and some grant money. But you're not getting through that plan, okay, without access to money.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lots of strikes against us at this point. We have killed a bond issue. We have killed a price increase. We had John Sullivan not paying his property taxes, and we had municipal bondholders calling CSD, okay, wanting to understand with the CFD 2014 what was going on. So I think a lot of the preparation that communications has to do is, number one, beyond the water plan, is making sure that our folks understand what we're up against here in terms of long-term infrastructure and what it's going to cost. And we're going to continue, probably, if we got to 4,000, I think it would be a miracle, but you're going to keep dividing this by 2,800 to 4,000 people unless you go outside and start stretching out that money in terms of a long-term bond. One of the things I think that's going to be really positive, if you want a learning tool, is you can now call the Amador Water District.
Yep.
Number one, they have a moratorium in place. They have an emergency water moratorium in place in Amador. And number two, they are in search of, because their problem is a capacity problem. They need a water plant. So ours costs 15. They're looking for bonds for $19 million from their ratepayers. So they're obviously going through the consultant process with the Muni people, and they're doing a lot of things that we probably in the long term can learn from. But unless you prep these folks,
right,
that are our ratepayers, number one, we get our audits finished. Number one, we prove that we're solvent. Number two, we understand how much money we have and what enterprise fund it's really stuffed in and what kind of money we need. And there's a lot of stuff I keep hearing at these meetings that doesn't seem to be embedded in the consultant's plan that we've already done.
Right.
I mean, there's already adding money to something that's not written down. So the number's going up. And, I just think that without the good faith of our ratepayer base, that if the time comes that we have to raise that money and we can't raise it,
well, one other that's comment, pretty serious problem. In general, we had a grand jury experience not too long ago, mm-hmm. and there were some very specific things that the grand jury said we need to take care of. Number one was reserves. And so as we go forward, I think you're...
I think number one was the audits.
Well, okay.
And then corollary to that is the reserves.
Yeah. So... I like your thought process, because it comes into communications, because we have to keep hitting home on and giving the community as much information as possible, you know, regarding all of that, the financial situation, the audits, and what it looks like going forward, because we have a report, the Loomis report, and I have yet to see that we've actually incorporated that into anything.
It's,
and I think that Loomis report is going to be key to some of our CIP stuff, and I think that's one of the things that we need to definitely put on our strategic planning.
Well, we're going to elect new officers at a meeting tomorrow, and I'm going to suggest tomorrow a couple of things. One is that we establish an ad hoc committee to liaise with senior staff on a number of very important projects. I think this will segue into our strategic planning sessions that we've talked about. I think we talk about having whoever the new president is and our general manager restore the meetings with the other entities here, and maybe it would be worthwhile to establish some dialogue with the president and the general manager with the Amador folks. I think that, why reinvent the wheel, or why not learn from others' experiences if they're willing to share? That remains to be seen. But we can have all those discussions, at a later date. But I think these are all really good ideas. Director Butler, is there anything else you'd like to comment on or make suggestions?
No, I just wanted to. Thanks. I just wanted to make sure that we have a couple of things on this committee that we are dealing with every month.
Okay. And I wrote this down as communications with the community, mm-hmm. being an overall topic, and
I guess I would like to go get back to this.
The street, and so that would be one, and then the other one would be
Working on the pipeline.
Specifically. Thank you.
One of the suggestions that I've made in that regard, and I think it warrants some further discussion. I think that there needs to be some way through the pipeline, and in addition to the reports that are given to the board once a month, of sharing with our community the services and that we do provide and what that entails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we get a utility report that talks about, and of course, if you have a leak on your property and it takes 3 weeks for the leak in front of your house to get fixed, that doesn't leave you with a very good image of what we're doing. And so I think that we need to start incorporating, I've suggested before, and I'll follow up with this idea, I think we need to have some reports from our finance director, from our operations director, from our IT manager, if he in fact is consolidating and making progress on our social media and IT, media and IT stuff. We need to let our community know how their dollars are being spent, other than just at budget time when we're asking them for an increase. And I don't know how detailed that can be, and GM Morris, you've mentioned before, you're not sure how beneficial that will be, and I think your point's well taken that, sometimes it may be really mundane or inane to share some of this stuff, but I think that periodically, at least, we ought to be getting reports from our executive managers. We get one from you every month, and that's helpful. And to some extent, you summarize what's going on in the various departments. But I think maybe, again, in the context of our strategic planning mm-hmm. session, this would be a topic that we could take a look at and figure out what we might share, how frequently we might share, and then try to figure out some metric for measuring the value of that. And that probably be the most daunting part of that discussion is the metric to measure how effective it is. But I just think we need to continue to move forward in those regards.
Can I just ask?
Oh, I think Director GM Morris, I think, wanted to respond, but I'm not sure.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that we've done a very bad job of communicating how much we've accomplished. And I think that some of these changes will give us that opportunity. I would say that in the December pipeline, we did have our new operations person do an article, and it was the conservation as a California way of life. You might not have recognized that as his contribution. And then I gave Mark a pass because Mark is working on making sure we're ready for the arrival of the auditors on the 16th. And so I added his piece into that. But yes, I'm aware of that desire. I'm not really clear on the IT social media thing. He's not really working on social media.
But he works on other of our media stuff, doesn't he? The cameras and
security
communications.
Media. Yeah. Security, yeah.
So, in fact...
Not all of which we probably want to share just for...
Right.
But yes, he's working on media
security. And I agree. Some of it may not be... But again, after we elect officers tomorrow, I'm going to have some suggestions that I want to share about agenda items for the meeting on the 18th. One of those is that I would like a full report from our IT manager on his success in eliminating the consultant contracts. What I would ask, actually I'll ask for it now, and I'll reiterate it tomorrow. I'd like to see the list of vendors that we worked with in the previous fiscal year on IT services, whatever those may be, on the media, security cameras, and whatever else. All the money, the list of consultants, and how much money we paid to each of them last fiscal year. And then I would like a similar list for the same type of vendors and the same amount of money being spent for the first 5 months of this fiscal year, so we can compare that.
So, Steve, what we're talking about now is internal communication.
Yes. Yes.
One of the things you should put on your list, I don't know if he's made you aware of it yet, is there's a date cut off and there's a bill number, but I don't know what they are off the top of my head. You're going to be required to maintain a .gov website. Governor signed that.
For local governments.
Yeah. I don't know the hows and wheres, but I know...
You're talking about with a specific domain of .gov?
Yeah,
and
right.
Some
as opposed to rmcst.com.
So a domain change.
Domain change, yeah. So
effective January?
I should go out and grab that and then sell it back.
I don't know. Maybe you can have Mr. Lee research that and report to us on the 18th.
Give it a try.
Thank you.
We have access in the community, by the way. If you ever need the resource, just ask me. We have some very powerhouse IT people at the state that live here.
Okay.
That's where I got it. I got an email. Hey, do you guys know about this?
Okay.
So
great. Thank you.
All right, Director Butler, anything else?
That's it. I think we
all right. I don't think I have anything else to add. Miss Amelia, we're going to adjourn this meeting. Mr. Merchant and I will see you tomorrow at 12:30. And then we'll all be here for a special meeting at 1 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you.